Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast. We are interviewing tons of people this year, and we're definitely interviewing people that I've met recently, people that I've known for a long time. And this individual, I met him about almost 10 years ago. I was just coming out of college, moved back to Florida, and I think I met this guy on the internet.
Yeah, I think it was Twitter, right?
It might have been Twitter when Twitter was popular. And that normal people
could use. I don't know. Twitter's pretty popular now. I don't know, but
well, Mr. Ben Salas, he is a entrepreneur. He's a coach, and yeah, Ben, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me,
Ben. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah.
And well, first, I wanted to say that how I met you, I think, was through the internet. And we had coffee one time.
Yeah.
Back then, you were planning a church, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting. So what brought me out to South Florida was to do full-time ministry. I had been in Chicago, where I'm from. You know, shout out Chicago. And moved here and fell in love with South Florida. And, you know, when you step into any new territory, you just want to network, get to know people, kind of get this a sense of what the landscape was. And so my wife and I, after being here a few years, I got married here in South Florida, and we were looking at planting a church. And that ended up leading us to helping a church get planted. And we never planted a church, but at the same time, we've been part of some amazing churches that have launched here in South Florida.
You're well connected.
You know, I thank God. I thank God I've been able to really connect with some amazing people. And I think part of it is just being on board with people's vision. I think always being a team player. I think always being able to, I've always felt like no matter where you go, you don't have to tell people about your skills. You just have to show people how skillful you are at something, and opportunities will open up. And I've always felt like I've always been blessed in that way. And so, yeah, I'm a big proponent of leadership. So,
yeah, one of the things that, you know, when I first met you, you're very embracive. You know, you're out, you were like able to reach, you know, hey, what's up on Twitter?
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're for sure a good communicator, which a lot of people lack thereof.
Right.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing now, and things like
for
that.
Sure. You know, I think over the past few years, I've stumbled upon one, if I could sum my life up in one word, I would say people. I've always been about people, right? And not just about making money, not just about status. And so my work has always been around people. My relationship has been about people. Like, I don't think I'm any different than I was 10 years ago when you met me. I actually think I'm healthier and better than I was.
Wow.
Way better. I'm a way better version of myself. And I like that. Because I don't ever want to change that. I always want to be authentic. I always want to be real. I always want to be reachable and relational. And I think for me, those are my values. And I think it takes time to get there, right? So the work that I've done has always, like, for me, those values have kept me doing the kind of work. So I've been able to work in a faith-based organization. I've been able to work with the homeless. I've been able to work with people in recovery. I've been able to work with people now in my business as a coach and empowering people and motivational speaking and training and development. And so, you know, I almost, if I'm honest, right, about like where, like, again, I couldn't get in like a crystal ball and forecast this thing, right? But like by just being who I am, it's essentially been the same thing. But at the same time, being given opportunities to explore different spaces, gather different experiences, and learn in different capacities. You know, oftentimes people would say, call that inconsistency, right? But I've been consistent with what I believe, and no matter where I've been. And it's hard to explain that, and it's hard to even express that at times, but for me, I know that it aligns with my values and my convictions. And so that has kind of led me into different spaces. That is, for me, worked for me well in terms of even ministry. Like, for me, my faith is always a big part of everything I do. Like, I recently posted something that for me was my own thing in this sense. I said, it's hard for me to separate my faith from my business when in order for me to start my business, I had to step out in faith.
It begins. I love this. Yeah, I love right? it. Keep right? going.
And because oftentimes people are like, oh, no, you don't talk about God. Well, let me ask you something. When you're struggling in your business, are you not praying? What is
pray.
It? Right.
I gotta pray, man.
Right. When you're going through a tough time and you're trying to stay encouraged and stay motivated, are you not saying, God, I know you have something for me? Maybe not in those exact words, but for me, it's hard for me to step. And I've just accepted that because I think when you come into a certain space, you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out what others think you are. And then you're trying to figure out what they'll accept. And I think part of it is I realized that I've spent too much time trying to get approval from people I really don't even like, right? And here's the thing. I realized that the only person that can approve me are two people, God and myself.
Amen.
like real talk, right?
Yeah. No.
And so yeah, I think those have been for me instrumental. Those have been for me the lifeline that has said, you know what, Benny, like – I'm 41 years old. I'm just getting started. I don't understand how people tap out at 41.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Only athletes do that.
Yeah, only athletes. Right? I feel like I've spent the last 20 years learning how to live out the next 40.
Wow. So let's scale back a little bit.
Sure.
You were mentioning before that you worked in a few nonprofits. You worked actually at the Miami Rescue Mission, right?
Or Chapman Partnership, which is right down the street from Miami Rescue
Mission. Okay, but a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, that experience for me was great. I got involved in working with the homeless, and I'll take it back even to my previous employer from that.
Okay.
I was working with an organization called Touching Miami with Love, mm-hmm. and every Sunday, as part of the job, every Sunday we would work with a church that basically brought in homeless people from the street. This is when it was like really out of control in Miami. Sunday morning, they knew where to go get food. They'd get clothing. They could shower, get clothing, get a meal, right? Wow. And then get some encouragement, some inspiration, some worship, whatever. And I remember every Sunday morning going there and preaching to homeless people. Now, I'm not talking about going on the street. I'm talking about like a full-on, like we had a – like. Someone playing worship, they come in and sit, right? It was the most craziest, chaotic time I'm like, this cannot be church, right? This is so, yeah. It smells, right? You got people who were, you had men who would obviously come in dressed a certain way, women that would come in dressed in a certain way. It was just so unorthodox and untraditional in terms of like what you would think. But can I tell you something? That's when I actually learned how to preach. I learned how to preach when the topic of conversation was not around me. It was around people who were hurting and in need. And I realized that whether you're homeless on the street, you can still have a home and still be spiritually homeless. You can still not resonate and have a place where you belong spiritually. And so I think now as I look back at that, I would say, man, we encounter people who are spiritually homeless all day long. They don't know who they are. They don't know maybe that God has a plan for their life. They don't, you know what I mean? Like they're searching for something.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, when I was working with the homeless, I got a chance to know the community a little bit more. And then I got an opportunity to serve as a case manager. And that's when I really learned about the social service side of working with people. There are people in need. People with, I mean, it's not just, like, here's the thing. Somebody doesn't end up homeless, okay? There's a difference. When I saw people in that homeless shelter, these weren't the people that were eating out of the garbage can. These weren't the people who were, you know, had needles in their arm as you would, you know, like the normal stereotypical, oh, that's a homeless person. You know what I mean? These are everyday people whose lives were just out of control, who were out of whack, who stopped believing in themselves, who had a dependency on a system versus their self. You know what I mean? There were all these different kinds of situations. Rather, it was people with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, single parents, abuse. Like, there was all these different factors. And so when you say homeless, you almost have to ask a deeper question. Why are you homeless? Because I think the why question to everything really gives the answer, right? It's not just what it is, right? Because what it is, like, whatever it is in life, it's always the why that leads us to where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you really nailed it. It's like, what's behind it? Why? You know, there's a deep history. There's a line where you need to, you know, see why and things like that. You've also been involved with church planting. I know you've been around, like the church for years.
Yeah.
Tell us your experience being in the church in Miami. What has made it different? I mean, I've been like also involved with church planting.
Right.
I've been involved with, you know, 3 church plants, and it's a lot of work. But tell us a little bit about your experience on that.
You know, my church experience in South Florida. I moved here in 2003, and at the time I was speaking in different schools in Chicago and doing life skills training. I had an opportunity to come out here and work with a youth ministry. And my first month here was rough in South Florida. I recently just finished telling a friend of mine that I've had 15 years of hardship in South Florida. South Florida is not an easy place. Not at all. It will swallow you alive, spit you up, and then kick you out, right? Like, and so I think part of it is I had to learn how to actually trust God. Like, I knew how to do ministry. I didn't know how to trust God. And there was a difference. And life had to take me through a series of events. And I never got bitter against the church, right? Because there were leaders that failed me. There were people who talked bad about me because I had to make decisions that were unpopular in the sense of, you know, was part of a church, right? And this wasn't a church plant. This was an established church. And the pastor basically wanted me out. And the reason why he wanted me out was because our youth ministry grew too big too soon. And there was fear there. There was doubt on his part. There was insecurity. You know, this was more of your traditional pastor who, you know what I mean, who is a guy who opens up the church, puts on the soundboard, tests the mics. You know, he's just short of playing the drums while he's preaching. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The one-man band, right? And, you know, church has changed over time. It's no longer like that.
No, it's totally
And if it
different.
Is, it's not going much further. I hate to say that.
I've seen that. One of my friends up in New York had an issue where his small group grew to 35, 40 people. Mm-hmm. And typically, small groups are not, you know, supposed to be that large. And
I hate to tell you this. I have a crew here that's that large.
Exactly.
We have what we call a VU crew. It's getting there.
So like the leadership got a little bit fearful, insecurity, right. And they told them they just shut it down.
Yeah.
So it's you're not like the only guy in the boat with that situation.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so, you know, it led us to another church where after 2.5 years of being in this church, and we've seen hundreds of youth come through and us be more intentional with our community, also stepping outside of racial lines because this was a Hispanic church, mm-hmm. and I was willing to reach anybody.
Yeah.
But like there's no – I mean, I believe what I read when it says there's no partiality with God. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? There's not like, hey, I choose this sect over this. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I believe his love is for everyone. And so after a short stay there, I resigned, went to another church, and that was a short stay as well because of some personal matters with the pastor and me not agreeing with the way some of the leadership handled a very important and sensitive issue. And so I found myself again, searching, looking, visiting other places. Again, I was spiritually homeless for a while.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? And my wife and I at the time were getting married, and it's just challenges. Like again, we all go through a journey. Like you can never judge anybody's journey. Like be careful what you say about people on their journey, because you might be on the same road they're at some point, right? And so what I do is I found myself looking at different opportunities, and so one of them was like, well, maybe I should plant a church. I don't know why I thought that. At the time, it sounded like a great idea.
It's a lot of work, by the way.
It's a lot of work.
And a lot of money.
Man, and so we would gather people, and we, you know, we took a step of faith. And I'll be honest with you. I'm so glad I never planted a church. I'm so glad I never planted a church. I think at the time, Santiago, I was so hurt emotionally. I was so bankrupt spiritually. I made some really poor decisions along the way. Where I had to then reevaluate, I had to hit the pause button on my life and just find Benny again. I had to fall in. Here's the thing. I knew how to do ministry, but I forgot to love Jesus, man. Wow. Like, I really did.
That's key.
Yeah. And I forgot to just love myself. Like, I know people are like, oh, maybe he's a Bible thumper. He's a Jesus freak. You know, it's really not about that. That's just my faith is my faith. And I make no apologies for it. But I got so focused on trying to be successful that I forgot to just be present, and I forgot to be, you know, live life. And I think at the time I was just burnt out. I was tired. And so I get to this point in 2011 where I hit the pause button, man. I couldn't continue running in the direction that I was going.
I remember that. You went off the grid.
I went off the grid, man.
I was like, where's Benny? I was actually calling people.
Yeah.
Like, where's Benny?
Yeah. I just went off the grid. And you know what? I had to find myself again. Yeah. I lost the sense of who I was. I lost the sense of what I loved in my relationships. I had to filter, you know, I had to process. I had to go into just some counseling and like, mm-hmm. really just be honest. Like, I wanted to be spiritually healthy. Spiritually healthy to me doesn't necessarily equate to like going to church. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you getting your finances together creates spiritual health. I think you going to the gym gets spiritual health. Like, I think all those factors, like, we're mind, body, and spirit, right?
Right.
And so I think all of that creates a sense of spirituality when you feel like you're in tune with things that one, are part of your convictions and part of your values. And so I think for me, I had to do that. I had to get a sense. I didn't have the best picture of a marriage, right, per se, growing up, where, you know, mom and dad had to really work through a lot. I didn't have the best example in male leadership, because these pastors kept failing me, and I kept taking the blow. There's so much more to the story, right?
We don't have a lot of time for it.
But but nonetheless, I found myself today now in a very vibrant, healthy church. Community, a faith community where it doesn't, you know what, bro? It doesn't even feel like church. It just feels like life. Like, I do life with people. Like, I genuinely do life with people. Like, I, you know, and because I think the stigma around church is that you just have to come and there's all these like bylaws and rules and regulations and, you know, I'm going to do this very robotic. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that anymore. And I don't feel guilty for something that I do or don't do. You know what I mean? I understand the difference between conviction. I understand the difference between who I am. I understand. I've learned how to. It's amazing because we talk about forgiveness so much, and yet we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And so just learning how to walk that out with myself in community, how to grow in my faith. I'm a part of a community at VU Church that's, I see so many creatives. It's unbelievable. Like, I'm like, wow, I get to be part of this community. That's pretty amazing. You know what I mean?
Which, like, there's a backstory. We used to go to Rendezvous back before it was VU Church. So we saw, like, the pre-VU days. But yeah. it was Rendezvous, and they would meet in North Miami, and, like, tons of youth people there, man.
Yeah.
It was the place to be. It was the number one young adults place group in the whole South Florida.
Yeah, I would agree.
And people might say VU Church might be the number one young adult church.
I don't know. I think they're getting there, man. I'll tell you. It's we've seen in 3 years, I'm just one of the servant leaders there that is blessed to really be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah.
But probably maybe 4,000 plus. In 3 years.
I call it like the fastest growing church in Miami.
It probably might be coming the fastest. I mean, I think when the numbers are all in at some point.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing. I love the fact that they're just intentional with what they do.
Right.
They really have values and things that create handles for people to grab onto. There are a community that often says, we want to be healthy. And like anything that's healthy, it grows. And so we're growing because we're healthy. And they're young and they make a lot of mistakes and they get a lot of things right, like everybody else. But I think they're just open. And I think seeing that allows me, as somebody who's been in church for a long time, Like it's interesting because I'm churched, but I'm unchurched as well, in the sense that like I've been able to unravel a lot of the things that I was like, ah, that was just a church, that was just people in church, like, and at the same time, having enough experience to be an asset and to be, hopefully, what I would believe is somebody who can help the younger generation walk through. You know, I mean, I'm not that old, but
no, you're not.
No,
like you're definitely understand what a 20-year-old thinks.
Yeah,
you know what a 30-year-old thinks. You know, and it's an interesting, you know, like they call it like millennials or like Generation Y or X. You know?
Right.
Like they keep changing.
You know, I just
name.
Made. I'm actually considered a millennial.
It's yes,
from 1977.
You're at the tail end
to like 1996. I just made it. I like calling myself a millennial because people like talk about them like they're like they don't got their stuff together or yeah. like they're the risk takers, right?
Yeah,
you know, those millennials, right?
You're a risk taker.
I try to be. I really do, but calculated risk. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not.
You gotta be calculated. That's right. Now, these past couple of years, I've noticed you got into like the life coaching yeah. in general. I know you do some corporate stuff,
right?
Explain to the audience, what do you do in that situation? And
yeah,
so
I fell in love with coaching in 2011. I became a financial coach with United Way, the Center for Financial Stability here in Miami, or up in Miami-Dade. And I fell in love with coaching. I realized as I was talking about money, I was really talking about people's fears. I was really talking about people's opportunities, people's resources, people's upbringing, that there was so much more. And the question was, so now that you know that these issues are there, what are you going to do about it? And that's where the conversation would stop for most people. That most people, there's not a fear of the unknown if you know what it is. Right?
Right, that's true.
How many people know their fears?
Not many. Some people do, yeah.
Some people, a lot.
Yeah,
believe
yeah.
it or not,
yeah.
most people know their fears, they just don't admit it.
That's the thing, they just hold it in.
Right, or...
yeah.
they've used an excuse as a way to get away from talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I could easily name a lot of my fears right off jump. And, you know, I went through a season where there was lack of confidence. And that's hard for me because I feel like I'm a confident guy. But I went through a season where I allowed somebody to throw something in my head. That relationship didn't go as well as I thought it would. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna stop doing something specifically that I value. And to be honest with you, it's like an attachment in an email. There's a certain thing, if you open it, you know, like when you click it, that's gonna open like this little window, right? When I would click the fear, there was that window and that guy's picture was there for me. And I had to say, you know what? I don't want him there anymore. Because every time I got fear, I'm thinking of what he said to me. Wow. And I had to delete that attachment.
Which is tough to do for some people.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But do you understand that the fear, if I say the fear of the unknown, that it's actually not true?
Yeah, because...
I know what it is.
Yeah, you know the root of it, but you won't tell it.
Right.
You know, yeah, you won't show it.
Right. So the issue is not the unknown. The issue is always what I know and I'm not willing to confront.
Man.
We gotta write this down. we'll put this out there, right?
Yeah,
but excuse me. But that's usually the issue, right? So
right.
So I got in coaching because I realized that for me, the best way for me to show up is as a coach, is to empower you around the fears that you know, around the potential that you're capable of reaching, around the vision that you have. And if I can do that, if I can find the on switch in your life, guess what? You'll always turn it on. It's not for me to turn it on for you. It's for me to help coach you to find where it's at.
Wow. You know, the Bible talks about more about fear not
mm-hmm.
than love.
Absolutely.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. You know what? I believe so. I really do. And I think because who doesn't go through it? Like
everyone does, man. We're human.
We're human. We experience fear. We experience failure. Like, you know, it's so interesting. Like we could read in scripture where God like gives this whole, you know, long chapter of all these great men and what they've done. But then it goes back like a chapter before that, right? And I think he probably, like, if we look back at that, we're like, oh yeah, but he failed in this area, but this one failed in this one. Like, it was like, can you imagine, like, all these things that would have been crossed off? Can you imagine how many times we're crossing ourselves off because of our failures? And I think that's, it's tough. I believe if you don't have a community of people, if you don't have support, if you don't have a willingness and an effort to just even try, man, you will never, like, be happy. You'll never be satisfied. And here's the thing. You can pray all you want. You can have everyone pray for you. You can be great at church and never step out in your potential. Wow. Never. I've seen people like, I know people like that. Wow. Right? They're waiting for, like, the Jack in the Box. Remember the Jack in the Box?
The restaurant?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, the restaurant's great. But like, when I grew up, with the Jack in the Box was obviously the thing you'd crank, like, right? And then, like, waiting for, like, this blessing to pop out. If I just keep, like, turning it around, and it's like, okay, like, I can't do that for you. And as a coach, what I figured out, and here's the thing, people say, you know, is it life coaching? Is it business coaching? Is it this? I just say like this, man. If it's your business, if it's your leadership, it's all part of your life. Like, there's not, like, these different, like, areas, right? If I'm suffering in my business, how much does that affect my life? Right?
A lot, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So, but I usually consider myself as a leadership coach, because I really believe that, and understanding that I'm attracted to people who have vision. I'm attracted to people who have something at stake, that they're willing to risk something and also lose something and gain something along the way.
Would you consider yourself a motivational speaker?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking.
Absolutely. Oh no.
I mean, because like this borderline.
Yeah. Oh no. But you know, when my motivational speaking. Here's how I've been able to understand my platforms. Motivational speaking is I'll speak to anybody. I'll empower on anything. You know, there are things, and I really speak a lot on purpose. And the reason why is because I believe everything begins with your why. Everything begins with your why.
Yeah.
Right. So I speak a lot on purpose. When I coach one-on-one, because for me, it's about saying, I need you to help me get through X, Y, and Z. I need to work on X, Y, and Z. Here's my breakthrough. When I do training and development, it's really about offering the skills and the training to help you get to that point. So the motivational speaking is just kind of like, you know, you come in and you spray up the place. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everybody gets hit, right?
But it's not practical sometimes.
Right. It's not practical, but it opens a door and it allows people to think. Yeah. My goal with speaking is to create curiosity. Is not can I speak like that, but how can I – what he's saying, how does that resonate with me?
You got me curious.
Yeah. Right? That's the point. Because curiosity – is the antidote to confusion.
Wow.
Okay.
This is a very in-depth podcast. I love it. I'm loving it, man.
Right.
This is good.
It creates an opportunity, right? Because if I'm confused about something, and I make you curious, you're like, what's possible? What's next? What's available? What's there? What don't I know? What do I know? Wow. See, when we go through life and life just happens. We either get tunnel vision, right? Or we get too abstract. Or we just all together just shut it down. Like, and I love this. Erwin McManus said this, and it changed my life when he said, what you call failure could be just you giving up too early. Could be you just quitting and you've called it failure.
That's a lot of truth to that.
I when I heard that, I was like, okay, I didn't fail. I just gave up. You know what I mean? That actually helped me out. But at the same time, what it did for me was to help me understand something very common about human nature that we could find early on in man's first, I guess you say, mistake, is that when we mess up, we just run and hide.
Just like what happened with Adam and Eve.
That's it.
They
hope we run and hide, yeah. And here's the next thing we do. We blame other people.
Yep. I seen it every time.
Every time. It's easier to blame other people, right? It's easier for us to have that conversation because it almost gives us a right. It almost gives us a pass. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any more passes. Like I want to own what I need to own. I want to be responsible what I'm supposed to be responsible for. Nobody's going to make this happen. Like as much as you wanted to do this podcast, you had to go out there and get the mics, get the camera, put the platform, develop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And as long as I've known you, man, you've always been a guy that's always been on top of like, what's the latest thing?
I have to, man.
You have to.
I have to let you know what's going on.
Yeah. And I think that says a lot about you.
Thank you, man.
I really do. I think it says a lot about you that you're willing to figure, like, you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out. And sometimes it's not always about it being the best. Like, I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the best coach. I'm the best version of myself.
Yeah.
Because nobody can be me. And I think the more that I own that, the more fulfilled I am with it. Wow. Because if I sit there and watch everybody and take everybody else's inventory, I'm trying to stock my shelves with who they are and not who I am.
How did you get yourself into coaching? Was there a motivational speaker coaching that you looked up to?
You know, a lot of people are like, well, you're trying to be like Tony Robbins, trying to be like this. Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I think for me was, I just wanted to impact people's lives. And I found coaching to be the easiest thing that didn't allow me or have me go and like get an MBA, right? I thought about it though.
It feels like you're perfect, like really perfect, like the job, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, yeah, just, I mean, you're a coach.
Right. Like, know? and that's why I called my business That Coaching Guy.
Yeah.
I wanted people to say, I might not remember his name, but who is that guy that did the coaching? Who's that coaching guy? Yeah. And so that's why
Great branding, by the way.
Thank you.
Who did your logo?
Alex Lopez. His name is okay. Is it Fricks? At FRISK 84. Mm-hmm. He is somebody who I met through Vue, and he did the logo. And I might be rebranding soon. Maybe really? A redesign. Maybe the next. We'll see. There's also something that I'm working on that's more of a leadership brand that I've been working on. And a coaching program as well. And the reason why is because here's the thing. I believe that coaching guy is me. That's who I am. And you know as well as I do, it's hard to brand yourself when, here's the thing. I've done ministry for so long, right? That there was so much more to me. And I love this. T.D. Jakes talks about this in his book called Soar, that be careful when people put labels on you, right? Because they're limiting your potential. And I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be one of the best motivational speakers. I want to be one of the best coaches. I'm striving to be all those things. The more I am in tune with my message, my niche, my business model, and understanding those platforms, the more successful I'll become in doing those and creating the kind of impact that I believe I can have on people's lives. So he talks about this in his book, that there's so many different things in his book, Soar. There's so many different things that he didn't realize that he was good at until he stepped out and tried. And so for me, entrepreneurship's been a challenge. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it is.
You're going to make in your mind a lot of money in your mind, right? But when you get out there and you hustle, you're like, wow, this thing is so much longer than expected. And so I'm learning. There are opportunities that have come my way, and it's interesting. You have to do whatever it takes. You have to have that kind of attitude, right? Even when it gets discouraging, you have to motivate yourself. You have to shoot a video, put a post out there, even when you know, like, you don't I feel like to. I'm an imposter. You know what I mean? Like, who am I? You know? And even when you don't want to. And I remember a buddy of mine, I met with him one time. And then we talk often, but we met in person. His name is Sean. And Sean said, Benny, whatever you do, be consistent. Be consistent.
A very easy thing to say.
And I'm going to tell you something. It made me realize that I was the guy that kept quitting on myself, right? Because I kept quitting on myself, I wasn't consistent. And I said, listen, I'm going to keep, like I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to figure this out. I don't know how. And there are times where I've wanted to just like all right, this isn't for me. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, yada, yada, yada. A whole bunch of reasons why I could have gone a different direction. And then I just said, you know, I'm going to be willing to just continue trying. And I'm not there yet, but every day I'm striving to. I never want to get comfortable. I never want to think I've arrived. Because just when I did, the market changed, technology changed, the messaging changed. And so I got to stay on point.
Never be comfortable. That's the key. Never be comfortable. I was complacent. Yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was very complacent. No, you got to keep striving. You know, keep making sales calls. Still, you know, trying to find new clientele, new business. And that's something that I really this past 2 years, like, I changed everything. Like, I put more content, more videos, more podcasts, email blasts every month, and it's grown my business.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, just got to keep trying. And keep changing. You never know.
You never know.
What type of events or what type of groups do you really speak towards to business?
Like, yeah.
What's your niche?
You know, my niche right now is leadership teams. Okay. Working with companies, working with I want to work with more small businesses, but I'm realizing that I have I really need to work with people who want to make an impact, not only through their teams, but they have an opportunity to reach people. Products are great, right? Like, it's great to work with companies that work with products. And so sometimes I'll work and I'll coach a team of people and their managers and their leaders. And then there's times where I'll coach executives one-on-one, or business people, entrepreneurial type people. And so I think one thing I figured out is that leadership for me is really the starting point of people, of where I work with people. And so if you're somebody who desires or is in a place of leadership, I find myself really showing up better in my best self. Like, I'm all about hearing issues, but I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. And so I never want to assume that responsibility. I want to see, because counseling and therapy will take you back on what happened. I want to take you forward on what's possible. And so when I look at people, I want to say, what's possible? Where's the opportunity at? And yeah, we got to go back and reflect on some things, but it's all about moving the forwarding the action, mm-hmm. and moving people forward. And so I tell you where I'd like to be. I think there's great potential in working with realtors.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. But you know what it is? I think here's my – it's not my issue with realtors.
There's just so many here.
There's so many. But they motivate themselves all day long. They have to. So in some ways, I'm like, okay, maybe there. Yeah. But I really want to work with people who also might not have an HR department and said, we need some training and development. We need some, we need some talent management. We need some skill set. Like, I don't focus on hard skills. I focus more on soft skills. I focus more on helping people understand their potential. Because here's the thing. I've been through so many trainings, Santiago, where I could tell you, I don't remember what the training was. You want to know why? Because it was just more material for me to put on my shelf. There wasn't an experiential learning. So when I coach and I train people, I want them to experience their learning. Tell me how many trainings you've been through that you remember.
Wow. Maybe one or two, but...
Now tell me how many people have impacted your life.
From those trainings, no.
Right.
Only on YouTube, you see motivational speaker, but that's right. It.
No, just in general. In general.
Oh, that impacted me?
Throughout your life.
Oh, man, I mean, I could name, probably 10.
Give me five, real off bat.
Let's go for Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
Is definitely one. Tony Robbins, Gary E. Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, and another one, let's say Judah Smith.
Okay, Judah Smith. Okay, who else? Give me somebody personal, like friends.
Oh, personal?
Family.
My dad.
Okay.
Of course. Actually, my mentor up in Virginia Beach, Marcus, and man, anything personal, it gets a little bit...
Right, but here's the point. The point is that you remember the relationship.
Yeah, I do.
You remember the experience, the conversation.
Yeah.
That's what creates impact.
Wow.
And that's what I want to bring. When I train... When I speak, when I coach, I want people to be impacted, right, by the experience. And so it requires so much more than a PowerPoint. It requires so much more than a fill in the blank. Those are all great. I use those, don't get me wrong, because I want to do a professional job.
Are you a freestyle guy?
I am.
I love it. I love
freestyle. I am. I'm free. Like sometimes I'm doing my preparing my presentations, and I'm just like, oh, I need to get out of my own way. Like I'm trying to perfect it. Me. Yeah, I'm trying to like get it so pitch perfect, and I'm trying to get it like this, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I'm suffocating myself, right?
Yeah.
And I realize this, that I'm so much into, like, because here's the thing. When you're in front of an audience or you're in front of somebody, right? Like, I'm feeling your energy in this podcast to be free. So guess what? I'm not having to overthink it. I'm letting what comes come, right? One, because that's who I am. And if I wasn't that, then you'd be like, ah, oh, this was okay. This is good. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it was nice. It was, you know. I didn't sign up for nice. Like, I signed up for good and great. Like,
life-changing.
Right, life-changing.
Walk out of the room different.
Right. There's a lot of nice things out there that aren't that good.
Can you tell us your future plans? What are you developing? Is that something you could disclose?
Absolutely.
Or?
Yeah. So I'll tell you something that has interested me more, and it's working with men, really? Specifically with guys. I feel like
they're tougher to get to.
They're tougher to get to. And you know what? I always like a challenge. So, but I'll tell you why. I feel like so many men, we go through life's challenges, and we have so many stigmas about what we think it is to like navigate life as a man. And we don't ever figure out like what is the most healthiest thing for us. Like, think about how TV portrays men. Think about what society portrays men. Think about a lot of what those areas portray men. And we're just like everybody else. I went through something that as a young man that was, I don't wish on anybody, and going through, I was sexually abused as a child by somebody. And that changed the trajectory of my life big time. And I had nobody to talk to. I was just told, hey, you know, just kind of like, you know, you'll figure it out kind of deal. Not realizing the weight that it had on me growing up, and my view about women, my view about sexuality, like all these different factors that happened. The way I was going to either look at how, you know, in a very pornographic era that we've grown up in, like how do you manage through that when this is what you see all over the place? These are the images you see. It's all over. Like you have to like redirect your mind from that, right? So then I get to this point where I'm just like, man, you know, there's so many guys out in our society that don't know who they are, right? And at the same time, we're being told who we're supposed to be. Wow. Yeah. And so for me, there's been a real deep interest to work with men. And so I want to build a coaching program that works with men, that takes men leaders, and saying, let's put a pulse on this. How's your leadership? How are you leading yourself? How are you leading your family? You know, understanding this dynamic from being married 11 years, okay? 11 years being married, and understanding that it is one of those things where I look at and I say, marriage is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I think, you know, on average, I've seen a lot of people where they hit year 5 and they're done. Year 7, maybe year 10, they're remarried. And I'm not to say that I'm perfect or anything of that nature, because my wife and I have had to work through those challenges.
Yeah,
you know, we've had to fight for our marriage. I've had to learn how to become a better version of myself and become the husband, father, and leader that I necessarily didn't see. But that wasn't an excuse to not have a vision for that. And so I think about a coaching program. There's a book in me that I need to write. I'm telling you,
I'm sure there is.
I started writing. It's a slow process because I'm trying to figure out the direction of the book.
I heard, you know, publishing a book is not that hard.
It's not the publishing of the book isn't that hard. It's the writing of the book.
The writing. Yeah.
Because my mind is like, I'm trying to figure out like who, when I think of like whose hands do I want this in, I really want it in the hands of both men and women, but I want women to understand men, and I want men to understand themselves.
What's your favorite business book?
Wow.
Or favorite book?
My favorite book. You know, there's a lot of business books out there. Mm-hmm. I would say one of the best books that I read. And here's the thing. I struggle with reading a lot. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm such an experiential learner.
Yeah.
So I like hearing, watching, seeing conversation, right? One of the best books that I've read was The Last Arrow by Erwin McManus. Because he talks about leaving nothing behind.
That came out like last year.
Right? Yeah, it came out last year. I read it and it changed my life. I think I was at a point where, and I've read some good books, Search for Significance, Robert McGee, which was instrumental in when I was in college. It helped me to realize that I was searching for significance a lot. And it was, I like more of these, I don't call them self-help books, but these more like self-reflective books. They really impact my life. I think business books sometimes are great. And I need to probably read a lot more. I'm reading Simon Sinek's Understanding Your Why.
Bro, that guy is deep.
Yeah, he's deep, bro.
Like, have you seen his YouTube video?
Yeah, he's insane.
I mean, I watched that video like 20 times.
Yeah, he's insane.
Which I'll probably watch it after this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, because he's all about purpose, and I love that conversation. I really do.
He makes like, he explains like the whole Apple, how Apple really
is. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know. It's amazing. Yeah. I find great joy in speakers.
Who is your favorite speakers, by the way? I mean, it could be Christian, it could be, you know, Tony Robbins.
Well, Erwin McManus is definitely one of my favorite speakers.
I can tell.
Yeah. I really just – he just has a very – he has a way of explaining things that hit your soul.
Is he kind of like – is he kind of like a motivational type of guy?
He's not so much a motivational. I just think that he doesn't speak on like it's very easy like to get like over spiritual at times. When you're talking about the Bible, he just breaks it down very practically.
I've heard him speak twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal speaker. I like guys like, who's another? I like E.T., Eric Thomas, the hip-hop preacher. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No, I don't think I've heard
of him. He's probably one of my motivational guys that I like.
And he's probably big on Twitter.
Oh, he's huge on Instagram and Twitter. Oh,
okay.
He's huge. Yeah, no, E.T.'s amazing. There was... I like guys like Francis Chan, who has this like real abstract view of like,
he's a cool dude.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Those are amazing guys. I like Alex Charfin. I don't know if you know who he is.
Never heard of him.
Alex Charfin is, he has a thing called, he develops something called the Entrepreneurial Type Personality, ETP.
That sounds like a good book.
Yeah, it is. You look him up. He's got an amazing podcast as well. And he just... I like his rawness. I probably have some suggestions on what he could do differently but on his podcast, because he stops. He has this great way where he's like speaks and he's got this thought and he goes, and then he goes like a whole different direction. I'm like, whoa, where are you going? We just took a left turn. You know what I mean?
That's why he's popular.
Right. Okay. But I love it because he's himself.
Yeah.
Like
yourself. You got to be yourself in these
you
things.
You have to,
podcasts,
man.
Podcasts, you know, speaking, things like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And there's a way that for me that I am myself. I like using humor. I like using analogies. I like. I remember the past week I spoke at United Way of Broward County, up to some of their leadership team, and we were talking about leading on purpose, right? And we talked about there's no way that you can step into leadership and not have to forgive anybody for what they do or what they say. People are going to do and say things that you're just going to have to forgive them. And so I said, you know, like many of us, we want to assess and empower people. But how are we doing that for ourselves? I said, oftentimes it's kind of like forgiveness, you know, like, you know, it's forgiveness. They say unforgiveness is like drinking your own poison and wishing for the other person to die. And they were like, what did he just say? I said, I know that's pretty heavy for a leadership talk. I said, but I want you to understand that as a leader, you set the tone. That if you're not a very forgiving leader, don't expect your people to forgive you.
Wow, that is true. I mean, I believe in forgiveness, kindness, holding grudges. It's not healthy. It's not good for
you. At some point, you're just like, this doesn't work for me.
Ready for some random questions?
Sure, let's do it.
What is your favorite Starbucks drink?
Almond milk, vanilla latte. It used to be soy milk, but I no longer drink soy milk.
Why? What happened?
They said it's not good for guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I like almond milk.
If you had to spend 1 hour with one of these guys, Gary V, Grant Cardone, or Ty Lopez, who would you spend your 1 hour with?
Gary V.
Everyone says him.
Yeah, Gary V.
And if I add Tim,
because he's not going to BS, he's going to give. Now, I'm not saying that Grant Cardone does. I think Ty Lopez.
I don't know what to think about that guy.
I don't know. It's weird because I know somebody who's gone to his, like, you know, intimate, like, you know, come to my house and, you know, I'm going to give you this master class. I'm not about the showboating life. I think it's great. I think he's a showboat. Yeah, he's a showboat. And it works for people. But I think he objectifies women a lot.
Yeah, wow.
He objectifies women a lot. And I don't think that that's the right example. Yeah. I think if he had a daughter, he wouldn't do that.
And if I add Tony Robbins to it,
I like Tony Robbins. He's, you know, I went to his event that he had last not too long ago.
Yeah,
with Gary V. Like,
a lot of realtors went.
Yeah, a lot of. I'm telling you,
is there a market?
I'm telling you, there's just I'm almost Santiago. I'm gonna go get my real estate license just so I can reach realtors. I swear, I'm gonna do it.
You know, it's interesting because I'm actually working with a client, and like he goes to these realtor meetings, but obviously because it kind of works well with them,
right?
But yeah, there's definitely a niche there. There are realtors. I gotta figure out like the business angle.
Let me tell you something. Okay, perfect example. I actually am doing some work. I've done some work with Keller Williams Legacy in Weston. They're one of the top real estate companies, or groups.
Yeah,
because they call them groups, right? They call them groups.
You tell me.
Yeah, I think so. But they're in Weston here, actually.
Yeah, they're huge.
And
here.
Amazing. They had me come and do some speaking. They've asked me, Benny, go get your real estate license. Do we think you're great?
Why would they tell you that?
Because they have a position called a productivity coach, and they know I coach, and so
you need a license.
You got to know the industry. Yeah.
Wow, which is not that hard to get. I heard it's 2 months.
You can do it in a month.
Yeah.
I like real estate. I think, like, one of those things that I'll probably do, like, on the side, right?
Everyone says that, but they never do it.
I know, I never do that.
But maybe you will do it.
I think probably I'm watching too many Million Dollar Listing. I like that show a lot.
So,
I would say, where do we go with real estate?
Yeah,
anyway, we got off subject, but exactly. Nonetheless, yeah. Ty Lopez, yeah.
Ty Lopez, yeah.
Not a fan.
Here's the thing with him. Like, he's coming on some legit podcasts. Right. I'm like, maybe this guy is legit.
No, I think he's legit on the podcast. I think he's kind of scum on the Instagram.
No, it's true. You have a good point. Good point there. What animal best represents your personality?
A lion.
Okay.
I have fallen in love with lions. Like, I'll sit there and watch Animal Planet or National Geographic. It's something about the hunt. It's something about the protector. It's something about the roar.
That's very motivating.
Yeah. I'm a freaking lion, man.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
My 15-year-old self, study more. Worry less about who you want to hang with and more about who you want to be like.
If you moved to a new city with $100, what would you do?
Knowing what I know now, I tithe it.
Wow, that's a good answer. How do you have your pancakes?
Gluten-free, cinnamon inside mixed with a little bit of vanilla.
That's good.
With very good. Grade A maple syrup. Organic.
Wow, you're healthy.
No, I'm not. I'm like selectively healthy, like when I want to be. I was not healthy this week, but
this whole month is gonna be crazy. It's not gonna be easy.
Another excuse, Santiago, right? For us to eat whatever.
Yeah, you're right. Would you fire a poor performer with a great personality or a great performer with a terrible personality?
A great performer with a terrible personality.
I picked that too.
Yeah, if they don't change. Because here's the thing, I heard this saying and it helped me out. Hire slowly, fire quick.
Wow. Yeah, you gotta make sure you got the right guy.
Right. Because oftentimes people, they hire quick and they have to fire slowly.
Yeah, firing. Wow.
So But it all depends on someone's attitude and someone's willingness for change.
Are you a Rocky movie fan?
A Rocky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Rocky Balboa.
Which Rocky is your favorite Rocky movie?
Think Rocky Four with Tommy Morrison.
Everyone doesn't like that one.
Really?
Yeah, because they think it was like a waste. It was.
Why?
I mean, it's
That was
awful.
one of my it was one of my well, actually, Rocky III with Drago.
Drago, yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Rocky II was with Mr. T. Rocky
One, it
I
was just
was
like the beginning.
Apollo.
Yeah.
I like that. I've always liked the Rocky movies because I grew up in the inner city of Chicago. So the snow, the cold, the
Oh,
running through the
yeah.
streets, the L, the train station, the vibe reminds me a lot of just growing up.
Yeah.
So for me, I just connected always with
But yeah, just like in the street, the
yeah, in the street,
urban.
the
That's
urban.
when he was rich, he got bankrupt, and he had to move back into the city.
Yeah.
Man, talk about eating humble pie. I
That's
mean,
right. Didn't he have like an estate sale or something like that in the
yeah,
movie?
it
Yeah.
was crazy. Has a teacher ever changed your life? And if so, how?
A teacher ever changed my life? I'm trying to think. I don't know. I wasn't always a great student.
I got you.
And the reason why is, man, I felt like there was a teacher that I can remember. Oh, actually, I do.
Perfect.
Her name was Cheryl McWhorter. But I was a performing arts major in school.
Oh, wow.
So she was a performing arts teacher. And she pushed us, man. She remind I mean, we spent hours in the performing arts studio practicing, and I don't see the stage as like, because when you say, oh, you're performing, it almost gives a bad connotation, right?
Yeah.
But every time I speak, I'm performing, I'm on stage. Matter of fact, when you step up to this mic today, I would hope to believe that you're performing at
Yeah.
your very best,
Yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
That's how I see performing. I don't see performing like an act, as if it's like fabricated or made up. I see it as showing up in your best self. It was then at that dance studio that I learned how to be comfortable with the stage. I learned how to step up in whatever capacity and give it my all. Like, if this is the last podcast or last interview I ever do, I hope I gave my best.
This is like Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
I play every game like as if it was my last.
Yeah.
And finally, would you rather buy Bitcoin or gold?
Gold. I got offered Bitcoin for some website name that I have, and I was like, no. I don't know if
Yeah.
that's going to be around much longer.
And what job you would not be good at?
What job would I not be good at? That took me a while to even accept that, because I think I'm great at everything. It's just kind of,
Yeah, you have to give 100,
yeah,
100% if I'm a garbage man or if I'm
right.
like, a coach.
I would probably say that the job that I'm probably not good at is like,
Hypothetically speaking.
I would not so much working behind a desk, because I don't think that's fair. I think there are different things that people do behind a desk that could be great. I would say the job that I would not be good at is when I'm unable to work with people and their capacities and their
Yeah.
potential. When I am able to work with people, it's not so much a position, it's more like a posture,
Yeah.
right? Like, how am I posturing myself? Where my purpose aligns? And if I'm not able to do that, if I'm not able to impact people's lives and touch where they're at and get in a space with them and show up in my vulnerability, in my weaknesses. Like, my strengths are because I've understood my weaknesses, not because I'm so strong. Right? When I'm able to be that, do that, say that, live that, I perform great.
Benny, we got to end random questions there.
Oh,
How can people reach you?
you can reach me on Instagram or Twitter at that coaching guy. Or you can go to my website, thatcoachingguy.com. You can also email me at coaching@bennysalas.com, where you'll get all my information, ways to get a hold of me. I'm also on Facebook. I need to do a better job with Facebook.
Yeah, it's kind of do. I mean, it's hard to do.
I like love all Instagram, man.
Instagram is where it's at.
It is. I love Instagram.
Snapchat is gone. I mean,
Snap what? I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had a Snapchat account, right?
I did, and I got off of it real quick.
Bro, once Instagram stories came out,
Stories came out, that was it. It was game changer.
I saw the end.
It was over.
Like, I love you, but you did a great job.
Sell it to Instagram. Now's the time to sell. They didn't.
Which they refused.
They should have.
They should have thought about. Hold on, guys.
Should have thought about it.
They could just add that on.
You know what? It's almost like I recently posted something on LinkedIn. I don't know if you saw it. I posted the fact that my son was looking at a red box. We were in Publix. He was looking at a red box. Okay, and he was like, "Oh, Daddy, look at." He loves Avengers and Marvel.
This like his
huge.
Father.
Oh my god, he's a huge fan of this stuff. Okay, but I blame my wife because I was never a fan until I got married to my wife, who knows everything. Right. So we're looking at a red box, and he's like looking at all the movies that he can identify and realize what's out there right now. And I looked at it and I was laughing. I was like, oh, how cute. And I took a picture. And I said, wow, Blockbuster missed it. They missed it.
They missed it.
They missed an opportunity to make it easy, simple, and accessible.
They were not innovative.
Yeah, innovative. They were not. Yeah. And I was like, wow, how many times that's our conversation, right?
Yeah, and like just like that, they close every store there.
Yeah.
There's only one store in Oregon, and that's it. I mean, you would think, okay, maybe people still want to go to a place.
Right. You would think maybe they could have came out with a box and competed. They didn't, and they lost it. They lost the opportunity.
I think about that a lot.
Yeah, man, because I used to love Blockbuster.
Yeah. I mean, like, hey, because, like, they're actually from here, so it's kind of like a home thing, but now it's gone. But
yeah.
Well, Benny, I really thank you for coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Absolutely.
Any closing words?
You know, I would say whoever's listening to this podcast, there's three things that are going to help you identify your purpose. One is who you desire to be. What are you becoming? Two, what are you creating? Like, there's a creative gift inside of you. And if you're starting with nothing, that's everything you need to create. And three, what are you doing? Where are your actions leading you? So it's be, create, and do. That's my model, and that's what I stand by.
Benny, I really appreciate you coming to the Sleon Productions podcast.
You got it.